Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hi, this is David Reedman from Pendulum of Fortune, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, their doctors are licensed mechanics. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Hi, this is David Reedman from Pendulum of Fortune, and you're listening to Genghis and Ragman. Horns up!
Of the show. Well, we call him a friend. I hope he thinks we're friends too. The lead singer of Pink Cream 69, but he's talking to us today about his, I guess, newer project, Pendulum of Fortune. David, welcome back.
Hey, Alan. Great to be on your show tonight, and of course we're friends.
Oh, dude, I got to tell you, the last time we talked, I had a blast talking to you, man, and I think we talked about, you know, possibility of you coming back and talking some metal at some point, but as time flies, you're busy, I'm busy. I never reached out, and we haven't done that yet, but I do want to do that with you one day because I think it'd be a lot of fun because you're like an old school rocker guy like myself. I think we have a lot to talk, a lot in common and a lot to talk about.
absolutely, man. I can talk forever about this. You know, I can talk for years. I got a lot of, you know, past history and definitely a lot to say, that's for sure.
Well, can you kind of tell us a little bit about Pendulums of Fortune? I know you hooked up with Bodo, I hope I don't butcher his name, Schoff?
Schoff. Bodo Schoff.
From MSG. And I guess he played you some ideas, and that's when this thing kind of morphed into a band?
Yeah, absolutely. The original thing, and I hope he's mentioned it this way too, basically he was going to write a book about his life, basically, as a drummer. And he was going to put like a CD in there as well, basically, of you know, these tracks. And sounded like a great idea. And I said, yeah, I'm involved. I'm into that. It's something a bit different. Anyway, the whole thing sort of went from that into a kind of a solo record. And then it ended up, you know, being a band. We came up with the name, and I met up with, I was playing with Bodo, with a guy called Thomas Blug, great guitar player from Germany. And he asked me why we played together, if, you know, if I was into it, you know, and he would send me some demos and some ideas and stuff. And I liked it straight away. And I love the way Bodo plays drums. He's an amazing drummer with a big history. With Schenker and other people, and yeah, the rest is history, really. Yeah, I got involved, and we've just released our second record.
Well, that's awesome. How would you say this the new record difference from the first record you guys put together?
Yeah, I think the first record is like you're sort of finding yourself, you know what I mean? It's kind of like a lot of the stuff was written, there was a direction. I think with the second record, because we had a, well, let's be honest, was a different bass player and already a new second guitar player. And these guys brought songs themselves, a lot of rock and roll type sort of stuff. And I think with this record, we wanted to go a little, to be a bit more rock and roll, a bit more old school. And that's what we did. The first record has moments, but it's, to me personally, it's modern in a way. It's kind of has like a few drum loops and stuff like that, and a bit more experimental. But with this one, it's definitely, yeah, it's rock and roll. But it's sure not Pink Cream 69, that's for sure. It's probably the most rock and roll thing I've done for a while, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, it's definitely got kind of that, a lot of classic elements, not sounding dated at all. But definitely, I hear Whitesnake and a bunch of other type variety of bands. But also, you guys get pretty darn heavy, you know, especially with like the title track, Return to Eden. Man, that is a killer track, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably a song that goes more back to the first record, you know. There's different ingredients there. There's definitely more the rock and roll aspect, like Diamond in the Rough and Gravy Train. But, you know, when you which seems like Return to Eden. Then that's probably a little bit more like the first record, but probably a bit more melodic, but heavy. Yeah, that was written by the bass player, Frankie Arm.
Well, you said everybody kind of came into ideas. Does Bodo play an instrument? And I don't know if the first time we talked, if you mentioned if you played an instrument as well, like guitar or something, but how does the songwriting process work within this band?
Yeah, it's a bit of a puzzle, really. I mean, obviously, when you work with different people, it's always different in many ways. But Bodo was always writing. He does a lot of film music and music for advertising and stuff like that on TV. Works with different people, and he's definitely not only a drummer. He plays keyboards, plays some guitar, bit of bass if needed, and. You know, he'll send me a demo that's really far. You know, it's got vocals on there, probably not really any lyrics sometimes. And the demos that I got from him were pretty far. A little bit of rough kind of guitar playing on there and stuff. And my job then, of course, is to make it a little bit more singable and get some lyrics down and some hooks and a concept. But for example, We Stand for Rock and Roll is definitely, a Bodo song, and he wrote the lyrics too.
Kind of a really cool anthem. I think that would go over really well live. Just kind of those good old-fashioned hard rock anthems that you don't hear as many today as you used to. I think it's kind of coming back, but it's been absent, I think, from the genre for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just the last two weekends we played live for the first time, and you know, a song like that, you know, it's kind of like you start it live and you get to the refrain and people are singing along and it's almost like it's a hit already. You know, it's one of those type of songs. And up until now, it's been a great feedback, you know.
Oh, I bet, man. Well, another unique thing about you guys is it's kind of multicultural type band where you're English. There's a Russian guy, Vladimir, and German. I mean, is everybody, I guess, communicate through, I guess, English? Or is it, you having to brush up on some of your foreign language skills? Or how does it work with you guys communicating? Is everybody pretty much, and you know, it's the 21st century. I'm sure everybody's pretty much speaking some English at some point, you know?
Yeah, English has traveled, I guess, over the years. And basically, what we do is actually the Russian guy didn't play the last shows, and he probably won't play live. So we pulled in at the last minute a guy called Lucky, and he's a Greek guy. An amazing
player. From Mr. Prophecy?
Yeah, that's right.
He's a great guitar player. We've talked to him before.
Yeah, he's smoking up, man. I mean, it's like also live, really incredible, great bluesy, great feel, and we pulled him in. And basically, the whole thing is in German, generally, to be honest. And then we'll switch back to English so that he knows what's going on, really. I mean, I was in Germany 20 years, so I learned to speak German.
Oh, I got you. With Pink Cream, like, because I know Dennis is American, you're English, and the other guys in Pink Cream are German, correct?
Yeah, that's right, and that's also a little bit like that as well. You know, there'll be a general German vibe as far as language, and we'll just switch back and forth. You know, me and Dennis, we both speak German, so there's no translating going on, but it'll mix it up. You know, I mean, some people never really do that with languages, but I live in Holland now. Actually, I moved to Holland 4.5 years ago. And I now speak Dutch, so I'm working on my third language.
Well, that's pretty awesome, man. I can barely get through English without fucking that up.
You're doing a good job.
Thanks, man. Well, I was fortunate enough to meet Dennis. He was over here playing with Gus G, and I was hitting him up for, hey, when's the next Pink Cream? Tell David we said hi type thing, so... yeah, he's a great dude, and man, I tell you what, vocally he was pulling it off live with Gus. It was pretty cool to see.
Absolutely, he played in the Netherlands in Holland last year, and I said, look, if you're in the area, I'm going to come along, and we went along, and well, it was really cool. You know what they're doing? They're really tight, really together. And vocally, yeah, I was like, oh shit, man, it's pretty cool. You know, I mean, on the Pink Cream stuff, he always sang backing vocals. And live, he's also a really important part as far as backings and doubling up with my vocals. It works really well. And to see him do it live, man, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Totally, man. Well, hey, real quick before we leave Lackey, if you, next time you talk to him, tell him the fans are clamoring for a new Devil's Train. That Devil's Train project, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. Kind of, you mentioned the bluesy, man. That thing got bluesy. That was a really cool thing he was doing.
Yeah, he talked about it a couple of times, about some tours that he did and some gigs and stuff, but I haven't checked it out yet. I mean, we really just met, you know, but he's an amazing guy and an amazing guitar player.
Oh, totally, man. Totally. Well, let's get back to your record. Again, it's called Return to Eden, coming out on El Puerto, which I believe is a new relationship from what I had read. Bodo had said some things about a new partnership. So that congratulations on this new deal. And it's these smaller labels that really, I think, cater better to the artist now, and it really kind of revitalized the metal genre as well as the hard rock genre.
Absolutely. You know, record company these days, I mean, you really don't know what you're going to get. And I think with these guys, we're feeling good about it. And, you know, they're hungry. And that's the most important thing. They're going to get on the phone. They're going to make changes. They're going to try and achieve stuff, get things moving. And that's the most important thing. And that's what we need at this point. Rather than just maybe a company with a bit more, as you'd say in English, a bit more clout. You know, a company that... maybe I've maybe more money, or maybe the contacts, but they're not necessarily going to do anything. A lot of companies out there will just sort of push it out and just hope for the best, you know. But I think with these guys, up until now, we're very, very satisfied. We met the guys obviously for the first time about 2 weeks ago, and yeah, up until now, it's been a great relationship.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the cover on the record, Lucky Man. And I want to congratulate you, man. Vocally, you sound amazing on that one, dude. And I'm like doing my best karaoke in the car with you. And I'm adding in a few parts. I'm not going to lie. But, man, you sound really cool and just really give that old track just new life. And congratulations.
Man.
Yeah, thanks very much, man. I mean, basically, I knew the track. I did know it, but not that intimate. You know what I mean? It was sort of like Bodo came up with the idea. It's a track that I guess he's sung before. He sings and plays drums sometimes. And I knew the track, of course, but I never really got really involved in it. And when I got down to recording it, it was really, I really got into the old track and analyzed it. I really had to sort of analyze the timing and the whole, almost, you know, the innocence of the whole thing, the way it starts, with the timing. And what I tried to do definitely is to get it as it goes with the song to be dynamic, to get a little bit more powerful in the middle and then towards the end, you know, a little bit more rocking there. And recently we played it live, obviously the last... we did four shows, and it was amazing to, you know, to play a song that you played like three times in whole, and that everybody's singing along. You know, it's a great song to sing along to, and it was really an important part of the concert. You know, it was great.
You want to hear something funny? I actually forgot it was ELP and thought it was Neil Young. I don't know why. But that kind of stuck in my mind, and then I looked it up. I was like, oh shit, that was ELP. How did I fuck that up?
Easily done. I've heard lots of things. Somebody mentioned today Moody Blues. You know? I think they were trying to test me.
Hey man, that's not fair, man. You're giving your time. There's no test on this line of work.
Oh, there's always tests on every corner. As a singer, every night is a big test. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I follow, man. How do you keep your voice so strong, dude? You actually, and I'm not just telling this because I'm talking to you. I really love your vocals. You're one of my favorite vocalists out there. So anything you're involved with, I definitely check out. But man, you sound as good today as you did, you know, back on the early Pete Cream stuff.
Thank you very much, man. That's really nice to hear. And yeah, it's a lot of work, you know. It's in your mind, basically. It's a mind thing, you know. I mean, you hear about people who've got, you know, like a block or whatever, and they're having trouble with the voice. It's really down to what's going on upstairs, really. And for me, whatever's happening in your life shouldn't necessarily touch your voice. It shouldn't influence you. You try and shield it somehow, and then you can go on stage and you can do your thing every night. Of course, at the end of the gig, maybe you're a bit tired and you need to get some sleep. But I'm quite busy, so my voice is, you know, in shape. But when I don't sing, I mean, like, could be 3 or 4 or 5 days where I just don't do anything, because you need to do something else. You need you need to be busy with something else and come back to it. And then I have a big box upstairs where I record, and I go in there and I do a quick gig. You know, I'll sing the songs, or I'll sing something else, or, you know, I'll sing to whatever and do a little concert, and it just keeps me fit, to be honest. That's the way I do it. Simple as that.
Well, you know what? Kevin Dubrow told me along before he passed, rest in peace. He said, if you don't use it, you lose it. So sounds like that's kind of what you're doing, just to kind of keep your chops up. You just got to, you know, give it a rest, you know, some, but then go back and just make sure you're exercising your vocal cords and keep
it. Absolutely. It goes away. You know, it's like any muscle in the body, because I was teaching for many years as well. I do a little bit now, but, you know, it's like anything else. You know, if you know yourself, if you go running for a week, the end of the week, you feel better, your body adapts to that and you build up muscle, but, you know, you get lazy and then you don't do it anymore, and it's gone so fast.
Oh, believe me, I don't know if you're a beer drinker, but I'm into these IPAs, and apparently they make your man's tits grow. So I've got tits, which it's pretty embarrassing. So I'll go work out, they'll go away, and then I'll get lazy and drink a bunch of more IPA, and then I got tits again.
Well, you know, they put hormones in there, you know?
Oh, God, that's not good. How could, I mean, it's bad enough I got a beer belly and I get accused of being pregnant a lot.
Really? Okay. Well, yeah,
I jest a little bit.
You'd be the first man anyway, and you could make probably loads of money, you know. So that'd be cool.
I tell you what, if my nipples start milking, we got problems.
Yeah, but you could put that on YouTube and make a load of money.
I'll let you be my manager. I'll give you a cut.
But that's a shape of things these days, isn't it? You know, I mean, everything's on YouTube and everything's out there on Facebook and stuff. And, you know, good and bad, you know, but that's a whole different story.
Exactly. Well, you know, speaking of YouTube, and I've been saying this to a lot of guys, dude, to me, it's like the MTV of today because a lot of bands are making videos. I think you can do them a lot cheaper than you could back in the day. And it's really a good way to get your music out there. I searched and searched for the new record and haven't seen one. I've seen the video where it's like, I guess, a pre-tour video where you play some music from the new record. Have you guys got any plans about doing a formal video?
Absolutely. We're going to probably for the We Stand for Rock and Roll. We wanted to do Lucky Man. That would make absolute sense. But unfortunately, there's a few complications about making a video. But, yeah, we're working on it. Unfortunately, it did not before. I mean, these days, it's so important to have a video. It's such an important tool. I mean, it's not the videos that you had, of course, in the 80s or 90s anymore, where it was part of a TV show or MTV or whatever. But, you know, people like moving pictures, and we understand that. And whether it be a lyric video, whether it be, you know, something you've put together yourself or whatever, you see a lot of things on YouTube these days. And, yeah, that's our plan. We're definitely going to get a video.
That's awesome, man. Well, I want to ask you about one more track, which I'm really digging, is Wish You Well. Do you have a kind of a cool story about how that track came together?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the lyrics are definitely, you know, about life, basically. And, you know, when you look into wishing well and you're wishing for other things. And for me, it's sometimes important to accept what you already have and to enjoy that. You know, I think that helps to, fulfill your life. I think a lot of people are always reaching out all the time for something else. It's important to like what you already have and accept it. And of course, still be ambitious and still try and get other things going on. For me, it was like, also when I write lyrics, I listen to a song and, you know, I listen to the vibe and if it's a bit dark or mysterious or whatever, or with Wishing Well, I didn't get like the sort of good time feeling from it, so I got a bit serious with it, you know, and I try to write lyrics that fit the vibe and the feel of the song, you know.
Well, it's a very cool song, dude. I'm really digging on that. As far as touring, I know you have some dates now, and then against Bodo's off to tour with Shanker. What are your thoughts on touring past the dates you have scheduled now? Or are y'all going to try to do any festivals coming up in the summer, or kind of what's your schedule look like?
Absolutely. We already got a few things going on, and all the time I'm getting messages, you know, what about this date and that date, and festival stuff. I mean, Bodo's busy now, of course. We'll be in the States, of course, with Mr. Shenka, which is a great thing and also great for the band. And yeah, we're going to try and fit him in between. We've postponed I think 4 or 5 shows that would have been part of this part of the tour. We've moved it to October, and which is good. You know, we can promote it better. We can probably make a video in between and stuff like that, and keep it moving. You know, it's a new start, and I think these days a new band, even though you might have members in the band that have done things before and have maybe a name, but still it's a fresh start. The last few weeks were about finally getting out there and having real pictures and photo and maybe some video stuff. And but so far, it's incredible. The feedback I've got from the people is amazing.
It for me, it's one of those records that it didn't hit me at first, but the more I listen, the more, I mean, it's stuck in my freaking head, man. So, I mean, those are the records I love. The ones that just hit me right away, I'm not quite as enamored with them after, you know, say a few weeks or so.
Yeah.
This is one I'm going to keep coming back to.
Yeah, that's sometimes the best thing, isn't it? When you need time to sort of get into it, and it gets into you, and it's part of your life then, isn't it? And hopefully you look back and you can remember parts of your life and stuff like that, what you were doing at that time. And hopefully that's one of those records. It's definitely something you probably get, maybe, you know, you've got to get into. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, obviously listening to, I mean, I try to sing, obviously I'm not the same guy, the same singer, but I've, you know, obviously different influences in my back catalog, saying, and on this record, it's definitely, it is different than the stuff I've done before, I'd like to think.
Well, it's also kind of a longer record, too. It's 14 tracks, so that's a bit ambitious. I know a lot of guys try to keep it down to about, you know, between 10 and 12, but 14, that's a pretty healthy album these days.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's quite common now to even 10 songs, even 10 songs, and maybe a few bonuses and stuff like that for different countries. But I think we felt, you know, we were happy with all the tracks, and people get the value for the money, you know.
So just to ask you, and I think I know the answer to this, so Pendulum is definitely a band that's going to continue to put out music, and so this isn't, I know it's not a one-off because you're on your second record, but I guess this is is it a project when everybody's free, or is it, this is the main project for everybody, and then we make time for our other stuff that we were working on, you know, at later times?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, all my bands are number one, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, obviously, Pink and Cream has probably a little bit more sort of past history and stuff after 25 years, or maybe it's 24 years. I'm still the new singer. But every band for me is number one. Absolutely. And of course, you know, it's not always easy. I have a few things going on, but it's been like that for a long time, you know, and I'm used to sort of trying to arrange it. But if I can keep everybody happy, I'm happy. It's definitely not a project. It's a real band. Absolutely.
That's awesome, man. Oh, let me ask you real quick, are you still working with Tank, or kind of what's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. We just it was my idea to I worked with the guys last year, and I was really enjoying the original Algie Ward songs that they did back in the day. And I said, look, let's re-record those songs. Let's get those tracks, you know, down again. I mean, obviously the tracks were recorded back in the day, and and obviously a good level of quality and musicianship. It was really well made, but I just felt that we could sort of get it down again with now's technology and with my voice and everything, and give the people what they want, you know what I mean? Get out there, and the next record will be more in the original sort of old school Tank style, and the new record Reignition comes out in April, you know, and next month we play in Finland and Sweden.
Oh, that's gonna be awesome, man. Yeah, it sounds like your plate's pretty full. Any news on Pink Cream getting back together and doing some stuff?
Yeah, well, we just did the boat. We did the Monsters of Rock boat in that went from Miami a few weeks ago, and we just returned from the States, of course, which was an amazing experience. Met many, many amazing people from many different countries. Still in contact now, and we play in July. We play in Russia, and looking out for whatever's going on. It's one of those things, you know. It's kind of like get messages, you know, every now and then. What about this day? What can we do here? You know. And you know, one minute there's nothing, and next minute there's a lot. You know, and the calendar's still looking good, and let's see what happens.
Well, my last question for you, David, and I just want to ask you, because you're so busy and a lot of your contemporaries are like in multiple bands, do you like it better with the variety of working with all these different bands? So say you've got three or four things going on within a year and you're pretty solid for the year, or did you like it back in the day where it was Pink Cream, you know, 365?
I did enjoy that time. Of course, it's what you know, you know, what you're used to, basically. I mean, back in the day, you know, I was asked, once I joined Pink Cream 69, Adrian Smith called me up for Iron Maiden. He was making his second or third solo record or something like that, and he needed a singer, and I auditioned for him. And finally, he decided that he couldn't find anybody else, and he asked me, and I said, honestly, look, you know, I'm in Germany now, and I'm signed to Sony Music exclusive, and that's the way it looks, you know, and I'm sorry. I think he worked with somebody else then, but these days it would have been, yeah, man, let's do it. You know, it's like a whole different thing. You know, it's being involved in different things, and I think it's also a lot to do with, you know, CD sales and the music business on a whole, sort of a little bit on a downward spiral, unfortunately. Yeah. But I think we'll find ourselves again. And, you know, it's difficult to say, really. I mean, it would be great to do one thing and just do that and be involved in that, put the whole energy into one thing. But I'm so used to it now, being involved in different things, working with different musicians. The chance of travel and to traveling to different countries and have different options, of course, is there when you've got many things, and I like that.
Very cool, man. Very cool. I've always been kind of curious about that, just with everybody. I mean, George Lynch is probably the most notorious for being in like 100 bands at once. So you're not quite there, but being in a lot of bands is just. Like you said, I guess there's pluses and minuses to it. I mean, I would have loved you playing with Adrian Smith would have been awesome, but I guess the dynamic was different then. So it's like, I know guys that could be signed to two or three different labels with their different projects, where back in the day, that didn't happen.
You just didn't really do it, you know? You might have...
Taboo, right?
You might have guessed it on some things, but you just didn't do it. I mean, back in the day, you didn't even write songs that sounded like somebody else, man. You know, to a point, but you just didn't do it. You would have ended up in court. Whereas these days, it's all over the place. You know.
Yes. Exactly. Well, David, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Well, obviously, to you first of all. Thank you very much for being a part of your show. And we were over in the end of February in Miami for about 4 hours before we left to the Bahamas. It would be fantastic to return to the US and to play some concerts. A lot of people asked us on the boat, and it's funny because, you know, they said, when you come to the States to play it, and of course for us going to America, being in Miami for 5 minutes was kind of like going to the States to play a concert, but of course it's not. You know, we weren't really on the mainland and we didn't play any shows, so hopefully at some point we'll get the chance to get over there and you can sample what we do. Looking forward to it.
That would be awesome. Well, David, we want to thank you for coming again on the Genghis and Ragman Show here on therighttorock.com. And we want to tell all the fans to grab Pendulum of Fortune's brand new record, Return to Eden, out on El Puerto Records on March 22nd. David, awesome talking to you once again, man. You're welcome on our show anytime. I think I told you that last time, but I really mean it, man. It was a blast talking to you, man.
Thank you very much. And like you said, get out there and buy the new Pendulum Fortune record. It's available on Amazon. And yeah, I think you're going to love it. Thank you very much again, man.
He will lead through the door in which he came, and bowed in shame against the pain. Oh, the fight for his innocence was strong. His unsung song was sung so wrong, and so he hides in the heart of the city, staring out the open window. He just cried as days pass by. He's not eager to greet them, but his hope's the only tonic that still dries.
This has been Genghis
and Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
Also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.